Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I feel an atmosphere of miracles here this morning. I just feel like God is here to touch us, and He's going to use us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe God is good? He's a good God. He's not a bad God. He's not a God that tries to threaten you or whatever. I was years ago, and you can find Luke chapter 15. But years ago, I was at Bible school, and I'd been there for a couple of months, and I was sitting on my bed. And as I'm telling you the story, it's one of those memories that you have that you're, when you tell the story, you're right back there. I can see myself there. I can see the room. I can see everything. I'm sitting on my bed, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm reading, and I got to the place in Matthew 7:11, where it says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? And right then, I'd been away from home for a couple of months, was kind of, you know, missing folks and all that, but I started to think about my dad, my earthly dad. Now, my earthly dad was the father of actually 13 kids, but 12 of us at home. And he'd get up in the morning, no matter if it was rain, shine, whatever, and go to work because he didn't have sick leave or anything like that. And I saw that man get up when he had the flu, didn't feel good, was not, you know, physically capable of going, but he went because he had mouths to feed. And then I saw him wear clothes that were you know, T-shirts that were way past time, right? So that I could have soccer shoes. And I thought to myself, if he, being evil, knew how to give good gifts to his children, and then the Bible says, how much more? More will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who He loves, right, and ask. What does that mean? I've settled forever that God is not the one that would break your leg to try to teach you something, because my earthly father would never do that. God is not the one that would put cancer on you so that He could humble you, because my earthly father would never do that. Are you listening to me? He's a good God, and He's for you. He's not against you. Amen? Whew, come on. I don't know. You might not get excited this morning, but I think I'm going to. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15. And this is a very familiar story, but I hope you hear it in a different way this morning. And it's a tale of two sons, but let's look at verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you in heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and his sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and drew near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him was safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you have killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and I have all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. There's so much in this story and so much that I've seen, but I want to relate that to us today. Amen. Look again at verse 11. A certain man had two sons. Two sons. And the younger one of them said to the father, father, give me a portion of the goods that befall me. So he divided to them his livelihood. I never saw this word in there before, but it said he divided to them. Not just the younger son, but he gave the older son things also. And watch this. The younger son said, listen, I've worked for you a long time. And what he really is saying, pay up. Pay me my wages. But what he didn't realize is that inheritance was much greater than his wages. Let me say that one more time. His inheritance was much greater than his wages. What does that mean? That means even with God, there are some things that we feel like God owes us. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but God, you didn't heal this. You didn't. I prayed and this didn't happen. And it's almost like you owed me. And he's saying, no, no, no. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're not looking at what I owe you. You should be looking at your inheritance that's already been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Now, there are two sons that are mentioned here, and I think it relates to us. It relates to backsliders, but it also relates to religious sons. You see, you can be a backslider, but you can also be a religious son, and you're doing all the work that you can do, and you're just working as hard as you can for God, and you're doing everything you can, and you have an attitude that I'm better than so-and-so, but that's not true. Because your inheritance isn't wrapped up on what you do. Your inheritance is wrapped up on what your father did before you. Are you listening to me? Watch this. This is so important. Because when you get a hold of this, you're going to understand that we all come to God the same way. And He's always there to meet us. Whether you're the religious person who has righteousness that's based on yourself and what you've done, or you're the backslider that absolutely has lost everything, you've wound up and you figure out for you come to yourself and you go, man, this is not working for me. And I've got to do something about it. You see, that younger son would have stayed in the pig pen until he came to himself. This morning, I want us to come to ourselves and realize again what's been purchased for us so that we can walk in it as an inheritance rather than a wage. Glory to God. What do you have to do for an inheritance? just show up. Right? If you know, somebody that was rich and famous, in fact, I have a sister-in-law that just received close to $1 million in an inheritance. Woo! Glory to God. She didn't do anything to earn that money. She just had to show up when the will was read. Right? She, well, I don't deserve that money. It doesn't matter what you deserve. What matters is what her aunt gave her. I want to give this to you. I'm writing it down. It's yours. Come on. God has given us, and we read last week that He's given us exceeding, abundant love, precious promises so that we can live out our lives, right? But we've got to come to Him. Hallelujah. So the younger son, he asked for his wages instead of his inheritance. He lost it all and he came to himself. He was humbled. The older son stayed with the father, did his self-righteous works, and didn't recognize his source. Come on. Go to 1 John chapter 1. I want to talk to you just a little bit about two categories. Again, you're backslidden or you're self-righteous. And both of those, you're in the wrong boat. But we're getting out of that boat this morning. You know what God owes you? Nothing. You know what God gave you? Everything. Glory to God. I'm so happy about it, I can't stand it. Glory to God. Look at this in verse 5. This is the message we've heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There are many Christians today that are walking in darkness, pretending to be in the light. This might hit you the wrong way. I don't care. If you're compromising your Christian faith in any realm, you've gone back into darkness. Come on. I've seen Christians doing things that I just cannot believe. Compromising. You know, when I'll just say this, that when we were raising our children, we wouldn't let them watch certain television, like cartoons, the Smurfs and different things. Why? Because there was witchcraft involved in the shows. But today, let's play this game, let's play that game, let's play that game. And there's demons and there's druids and there's all kinds of things involved in all of it. And what you've done is you've just opened a door and you've walked into darkness instead of walking in the light. And so what do you have to do? You have to come to yourself and say, no. Why would I go back into darkness when I can walk in the light as He's in the light? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I putting some religious thing on you? No. I'm asking you to speak to God and take your heart before Him and say, God, is there any place in my heart that I've let darkness come back in? Because if I did, I need to come to myself so that I can walk in the light and put the darkness away. Because darkness and light do not mix. But good news for you. There's great news for you if you're in that boat. Watch this. This is so good. It says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. What can wash away my sin? nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on. It's Him. It's Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Do you know there's verses in the Bible we don't like? Right? Be holy because He's holy. Well, don't get religious on me. No, I'm just reading what it said. Be holy. He gives you the power to be holy, but you have to make a conscious decision that that's the way I'm going to walk. And why would we walk outside of Him if He's there available to us? And yet we do it. But good news again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yeah, I got angry and I lost my temper and I did this and I did that. But it's not a big deal. If they wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. And if this wouldn't have happened, that wouldn't have happened. If you know, blah, 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 blah. And the fact is the truth is not in you. The Bible says that the truth shall set you free, but you've got to be in the truth to be set free. Woo! Glory to God. Keep on preaching, brother. I believe I will. Hallelujah. If we confess our sins, if we come to ourselves, come on, if we come to ourselves, and say, Lord, You're right. I'm wrong. I'm not loving my brother and my sister like I need to. God, forgive me. But if I lay my life down and start to love some people that I don't want to love, it might cost me something. It might cost you everything. But the point is not what it's going to cost you to do what He tells you to do. The point is what it's going to cost you if you don't. Come on. I want to receive and be part of His inheritance. If we confess our sins, I love this verse. I use this verse a lot. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, not only to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The young man who came back to his father, the father was looking for him to come. The father didn't go to where he was in the pig pen or in the darkness. But as soon as the son came to himself and began to turn around and became to come to himself and started walking to him, the father went, "Woo! I think I see him. That looks like, he walks like my son." And he didn't wait for the son to get to him. He ran after him and said, "That's all I needed. That's all I needed was just for you to turn around and come to me. For I am there for you to pick you up and put you in the right place." And what's so cool about it, the son was humble before him and said, "I don't even deserve to be called your son." And the father didn't even listen to him. Because he had a ring for him. And the ring was a symbol of the family crest. In other words, if you wore that ring, you were part of the family. But not only were you part of the family, everything that that family had was yours. A ring, many times in days gone by, a ring was there so that you could dip that ring in wax, and if you put a letter out, you sealed that wax on the letter, and so anybody who got that letter said, "We know where this is from." Whew, glory to God. He killed the fatted calf and said, "We're going to celebrate. My son has come home." When we confess our sins and confess not because we got caught, but because we understand the heart condition, our condition with Him, and we confess our sins, the Father's going, "Woo, glory to God." In fact, I believe this, and we use this verse correctly, but where it says that when one sinner comes to God or forgives God, all of heaven rejoices. That means they throw a big party. I think the same thing is true when we check our hearts with something that God is dealing with us and we say, wait a minute, God, no more excuses, no more reason, no more denial, none of that. I'm coming to you just as I am, and I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. It's the backslider coming home, and God says, get up, boys, we got another one coming home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hallelujah. I want us to come to ourselves this morning. I want us to recognize where we are and just say, Lord. I mean, Sharon's word was just awesome, and it just brings so much encouragement to me that I know that when we formed this church, that God said that signs and wonders will happen here. He said that the gifts of the Spirit will operate here. He said that His presence would show up. And I've, over the years, man, I've seen it, I've watched it. I mean, I've seen His glory cloud come into the building to where we couldn't even say anything. I was talking with somebody just the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, that there was a holy hush that came on them and you know, the church. And she said, man, it was just so holy. And you know, I think it could have lasted longer, but we kind of interrupted it. And I said, well, you know, there was one time in the church, and this is just one Sunday evening. There were only a few of us, a handful there, but there were kids and babies in the room. We were there, and there was such a presence of God in the room that we didn't say anything, speak anything, do anything for 45 minutes. Now, I'm telling you, the babies didn't move, kids didn't move, nobody made a sound because His glory came into the house. What's that for? It's so that your heart can be quiet so they can speak something to you. Right? Lord, I'm still believing for Your glory because it's part of my inheritance. It's part of my inheritance. So if I've backslidden by not believing for what God has promised us, I need to repent of that and come back and say, okay, no, God, You're still the same God, and I'm still believing You for that anointing. I'm still believing You for the power to set people free in Jesus' name. Glory to God. James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, therefore, submit. You know what submit means? It means put your face on the floor and say, God, You're right, and whatever You say, I'll do. Whatever You say, I'll do. I don't have a choice but to do what You've called me to do. I don't like it. I may have to give up friends. I may have to change locations. I may not get to go on the vacation that I want to go on. I may not, you know, get to just write people out of my life. But Lord, I'm going to submit to You because whatever You put on my heart, that's what I'm going to do. Submit to God means I put myself under the subservience of God to God. Do you know that worship is not singing a song? Worship, true worship, is submission to God, period. And it's oftentimes in the book of Psalms, it says that we now bow down. What that's saying is that we're laying ourselves prostrate before Him. Why? Because You're God, I'm not, and I'm submitting totally to You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Years ago, and a thing, religious practices can happen and the meaning get lost. But years ago, in most Pentecostal churches, and most even Baptist churches, they had an altar. And at that altar at the end of service, or even at the beginning of service, and in many countries, in Guatemala and Mexico and different places, before I watched this, there were men in Guatemala who would come into the service, and they'd be late. You remember, they'd be late, and they'd come, and they'd kneel at the altar before they went to sit down because they were submitting themselves under the presence of God and to the word that was being spoken. We're submitting ourselves to God. Verse 7 again. It says, hallelujah. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's he talking about? He's talking about backsliders. Because the book is written to Christians. It's not written to sinners, to those who don't know Christ. He's written backsliders. What does that mean? When you recognize that you've left the house and you've gone and you've found yourself feeding on pig food, it's time to come to yourself. But not just submit to God, but part of that is I'm washing my hands of the very things that have brought me back to this place. Amen. What is that? Well, it could be a lot of different things, but the point is I'm coming to God in whatever it takes. Like for men or women, it doesn't matter. If you have a problem with lust and you're watching certain things on TV or on your computer, if that's something that's kept you in the pig pen, you need to break the computer screen, you need to break the TV, you need to walk away from that because it's keeping you in the dark instead of the light. Right? God's waiting for you. He's wanting you. He's wanting to fill your heart again with the joy and the peace and everything that God has for you. But He can only do at times what you choose to allow Him to do. Verse 8. Or verse 9, lament and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. What does that mean? That means you can't just go, well, sorry, Lord. There's a line in the song that we sing. It's, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. When's the last time you ask God, God, what breaks your heart? Is there anything in my life that's breaking your heart? Because if I come to myself, I'm going to use that as the motivation to change everything about me. Come on. And I'll cry and I'll do whatever I need to do to get that to change. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes change takes commitment that continues after failing. Yeah. Let me say that one more time. Sometimes change takes commitment after the failing. What does that mean? I'm getting back up, God. No, I slipped up, but you're still with me. I have not changed my mind. I have not changed the goal. I have not changed what you put in my heart. God, I'm going to continue to go for it no matter what. Peter could have stayed down after he denied Jesus, but he came back to where Jesus was. And when Jesus ministered to him, come on, it changed his life for the future. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. Do you believe that today? I said, do you believe that today? Do you believe if you come back to Him, He'll kill the fatted calf? He'll put the ring on your hand. He'll put the robe on your back. Hallelujah. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, we need to stop living out of wages and out of our inheritance. But when we're with God, we need to understand that in His presence, we live out of our inheritance, not what we deserve. Not what's owed to us. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. Let's start in verse 17. Very familiar passages, but listen to them very, very clearly and carefully. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody in here in Christ? Right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things became new. When that young man came back to his father after finding himself and coming to himself and making the journey back, the father said, "It's like you've never left. You're still a part of my family. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus." I said, "You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus." Glory to God. Watch this now. Now all things are of God, and who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What happened when the Father met up with the Son? What happened was total reconciliation. When we come to God and humble ourselves, it's the point of total, complete reconciliation. So whether you're the backslider or the one who just thinks of himself as holy and, you know, I wish everybody else was like me type of thing. And that's so funny. But, you know, either one of those, you come to God and you say, "God, it's all about you and what you've done. And I thank you that you've reconciled me to yourself." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our inheritance is not based on what we do. Our inheritance is based on what He did. So when you come to God this morning and He speaks to you and you repent and you humble yourself, He's not going to go, "Well, you sorry thing. I would have loved you a lot more if you just didn't mess up." He's saying, "I love you the same right now as I've always loved you. Come on." And my love for you is what will put you over. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Romans chapter 3, just a few verses, and then we'll close and we're going to pray. I feel like God's going to do some things. He already has, but there's some other things that He wants to do this morning in our hearts. How many were going to let Him do it? I know it's hot. I know all of that. But God wants to meet with you this morning. Let me say that again. God wants to meet with you this morning. Verse 28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." My faith in Him that justifies me. Amen. Come on. It's not my works. It's not my backsliding. It's Him. Look at chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What am I saying? That your key to the inheritance is faith in what He's done. How many know that Jesus isn't getting back on the cross every week so that He can pay the price for what you need? It's already done. It's already complete. When we need something from God, we don't come to Him begging Him. We come to Him based on His promises, thanking Him for what He's already accomplished. And I receive it, Lord. I don't have to do anything for it. I don't have to faith my way through it. I don't have to hope it happens. Lord, I'm just resting in You and knowing that I have an inheritance in You. And all of Your promises are for me and they're true. God, I can have peace in the midst of the storm because You're with me. God, I can know that I know that I know that You're faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins, but not just forgive me, cleanse me from every bit of stain that was associated with that sin. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm one who's been cleansed by the blood. Woo, glory to God. Chapter 5. Of Romans. Listen to this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? God has an open door policy. That means you're welcome in His office anytime. That means that Jesus' blood, and through His blood, if we'll come to Him, then we'll be absolutely welcomed by Him. Though whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Come on. Come on. I want you to live out of your inheritance, but I want you to recognize He's holy. But He's coming to you today and inviting you back into His throne room right now. And whatever you have need of that He's promised, all you have to do is say, I've read the will, it's part of my inheritance, and Lord, I'm thanking You for it. Come on. Jesus said that the anointing was upon Him. And He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set those at liberty who were bruised. He came to set open the blind eyes, to see the lame walk. Come on. Then He turned to His disciples and said, you go do the same thing. For behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The devil's not your problem. Jesus is your solution. He's already whooped him. Come on. Are you with me this morning? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today, and we're going to act on your word, and we're going to pray into your people your word today. Lord, I ask you for everybody in this room, for you to speak to their hearts, Lord, and if there's anything that you're dealing with them about, Lord, I just submit them to you. If you're here this morning, submit your heart to God right now. Just say, Lord, I don't want to be self-righteous and I don't want to be a backslider. So I'm coming to you right now. I'm giving you my heart and I'm asking you to show me if there's anything in my heart that breaks your heart. And Lord, I'm coming with the attitude of complete surrender to you right now in Jesus' name. If you're watching online and you've done that, first step is make Jesus the Lord of your life. The second step is completely surrender to him. The third step is to claim or to walk in the inheritance that he's given to you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control. He's given all those things, temperance, meekness, goodness, they're all yours. Begin to walk in them as your inheritance. Father, I just pray over all those who are watching online. If they need to be healed, God, I just ask you supernaturally in the name of Jesus to heal them. I cannot touch them, Lord, because through the internet, Lord, but I know that you sent your word and you healed them. You healed them mentally. You healed them physically. You healed them emotionally. You healed them financially. Lord, I just thank you for touching them right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here this morning and you need prayer, he's here to touch you. Say, well, I've been prayed for before. Do I really need to go up? I've been in the same boat, and I think that's really silly. If God is here to touch me, I want it. If God is here to touch you, come and get it. The worship team could come on up. But if any on the worship team want prayer, just stand up here. If you need prayer, stand up here. And listen, don't get too busy out there. This is a holy time where God is going to touch people. So if you're here, help us pray. Come up and help people get prayed. People are going to see breakthrough today in Jesus' name. Come on up. I know there's people that need it. Come on up.